When Patrick Meyer hears about a major humanitarian disaster, his first instinct is to make a map. In the past 6 years, he has pioneered the life-saving field of crisis mapping. It's been used in emergencies from the Philippines to Haiti. All this month, we're meeting inspiring people who innovate to change the world around them. We're calling them Boundbreakers. NPR's Hannah Block has our next story.
On a cold, gray afternoon back in January 2010, Patrick Meyer was checking email.
I was on the sofa with my legs up and with my laptop on my lap.
He was a PhD student in Boston and was half listening to CNN in the background when he heard this.
This is CNN breaking news.
We're just getting word of a major earthquake in Haiti.
I froze, just paralyzed.
Because his girlfriend, the woman he wanted to marry, was in Haiti. She was a fellow student doing research there when the earthquake struck. Meyer was frantic to find out if she was safe. Reports were that thousands were dead, but he was 1,500 miles away and couldn't get through to anyone who knew.
I can tell you it was one of those life and death moments where everything stops and you know that this moment will define what trajectory the rest of your life takes. And I was like, okay, either the person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with is no longer there, and that's completely changing my entire life. Or the person is safe, and I'll get to marry her and spend the rest of my life with her.
He couldn't bear to just sit there and wait. So what he decided to do was create a map, a real-time, live, constantly updated online map of the earthquake damage in Haiti. He and some friends started pulling information from social media.
Twitter, Facebook, YouTube videos coming out.
And adding it to a base map to get a picture of damage in the country. They plotted key points in red dots on an online map.
Roads, bridges, buildings. We started getting information on different pharmacies being open, people being trapped under the rubble.
Now, Meyer had already spent the past few years studying the potential of such maps, known as crisis maps, to help humanitarian work. He grew up in Africa and Europe and has loved maps his entire life. Now was his chance to put everything he'd been thinking about into practice. From a nerve center in his dorm room, Meyer and a team of volunteers worked round the clock for days. A flood of information came in on tweets and texts. These are some that he's saved that are being read by actors.
I am not dead. I am under the rubble in University Caraïbe. Please come and get me.
Multipharma on Roulamo in Pétionville is open. You can go there to buy medicines.
And I have two people that is still alive under the building still. Send help.
As the days went on, thousands of volunteers pitched in from 40 countries. They all added information to a constantly changing crisis map, at times a blur of red dots indicating cries for help and signs of life, or obstacles and danger.
So we were really just trying to soak up as much of this information as we could, and to be honest, I mean, we barely soaked up, you know, a fraction.
But it was helping. Some search and rescue teams started using the information on the map. The Marines were using it. A tweet came from the head of FEMA saying,
"This is the most comprehensive and up-to-date information available to the humanitarian community," and then linked to our map. And that was surreal.
Since then, the crisis mapping Meyer pioneered has helped save lives in just about every major disaster. And his expertise has been tapped and recognized by the UN, World Bank, USAID, and many others.
We made it up as we went along because it hadn't been done before. And it wasn't easy, it wasn't perfect, but it started something.
Now, fast forward 6 years.
So I'm just going to make it fly.
Meyer is 38 and still obsessed with mapping. And the next frontier he's exploring is robotics, including drone technology. He says drones will make crisis maps even more effective for disaster response. Today, he's practicing flying one of his own drones.
We're at the Sylvania Farm and Vineyards.
In Leesburg, Virginia, about 50 miles from where he lives in Washington, D.C.
The reason we won't be doing this on the mall is because actually there's a no-fly zone around Washington, D.C.
It's a hot, sunny day. He's wearing a baseball cap.
All right.
And he steps into the shade to type some commands on his iPad.
It's really becoming very simple.
And launches the drone, which levitates and flies off over the vineyard. The drone is equipped with a camera that takes hundreds of pictures.
What you can do with drones is you can collect imagery and stitch the imagery together to create maps or to create 3D models.
Meyer says this can be very useful in detecting damage after a disaster. And all of this matters, he says, because
you can't protect what you can't map. You can't change what you can't map.
He knew this mattered in Nepal after an earthquake killed some 8,000 people in April of last year. In some areas, satellite images showed mostly clouds, but that's where drones became useful. Meyer and his colleagues were able to use drones to capture detailed images of damage. Now, the most important thing, Meyer says, is helping people around the world to take on this life-saving work themselves when emergencies hit. He's teamed up with young professionals in Nepal already through his nonprofit, We Robotics.
I get emails at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Patrick, I've got a new idea on how we can do this when there's a next disaster. We could do this and this and this. What do you think? I mean, that energy and that it's enough to keep me going for years.
These days, Meyer's pretty busy at home, too. He became a dad this year. And the baby's mom?
That's giggly.
Well, that's the girlfriend he was so worried about in Haiti. She did survive, and they got married in 2013. Hannah Block, NPR News, Washington.